Make sure that your baby is familiar with his room. Ideally, he can even spend a little alone time napping or playing in his crib during the day. Number 3. Start the move gradually by putting your baby down for his first stretch of nighttime sleep in his own room. For a week or two, you might decide to bring him into bed after the first waking. Gradually, see if you can put him down again in his crib in the middle of the night after feeding or soothing him. For a while, you may end up with your baby in bed with you by the time morning comes. With this gradual approach, though, your baby is growing familiar with his room and practicing self-soothing. Eventually, you may have to use the sleep wave to help your baby over the last hump of sleeping independently. Moving little Rue to her own room. Kelly. Sweet, peaceful bed sharing when Rue was a young baby had shifted to sleepless nights for all of us as she became an alert, older baby who woke frequently during the night. By the time she was about 6 months, I was bleary-eyed and barely functioning from sleep deprivation. It was time to move her into her own room. I wasn't ready to wean, and I didn't mind having her join us at some point in the night as we gradually got her used to her own room. I just wanted her to start by learning how to fall asleep on her own. Establishing that pattern was a big victory. We've all been sleeping better, and I still get lots of cuddles in during the day. Moving a toddler. If you're moving a toddler or older child into his own room, there are a few options. Number 1. Make sure you've listened to the Healthy Sleep Habits section for your child's age and put these building blocks in place. Number 2. Start by getting your child used to playing and spending time in his bedroom. Create positive associations and maybe even do some shadow play with flashlights or glow sticks in the dark. Make sure to do at least the last several steps of his bedtime routine, child-led play, books, and songs, for example, in his room while gradually dimming the lights. Number 3, try using the reverse sleep wave to help your child fall asleep independently in his own room at bedtime. You may be surprised by what he's capable of. Number 4, the process for moving your toddler can be the same as with a baby. Have your child nap in his own room or start the night in his own room. And then, for a week, transfer him to your bed if he wakes up. This is a better idea than letting your child fall asleep in your bed and then transferring him while asleep. Don't bait and switch. Your child should go to bed as a conscious participant. After 1 to 2 weeks, if your child is still waking up in the night, you can use the sleep wave to help him return to sleep on his own and sleep independently for the full night. Number 5, another choice is to gradually wean your child out of your room. This looks much like the gradual parent wean, only your child is the one inching out of your room. It will work best with a verbal child. Making it very gradual is most effective. Number 6, make sure that no matter what approach you choose, you acknowledge your child's progress and new ability. Hey, you slept in your room last night. How was that? Or say to your partner at breakfast so your child can hear, did you notice that Max fell asleep last night in his room? When I checked in on him, he looked pretty cozy. Also make sure that your child has a blankie, lovey, or stuffed animal he likes, as well as a quiet, dark, comfortable bedroom. Daylight saving time. Love it or dread it, daylight saving time is one of those facts of life that we have to adjust to. There are different ways to approach daylight saving time. Jump right to the new time. you can have your child simply jump to the new time. This often works just fine for older kids, who might feel a little groggy for a few days while they adjust. If you're doing it this way and the time is springing forward, your child may go to bed a little later, according to the new time on Sunday night, after the time change, because his body won't yet be tired. Wake your child at his usual waking time on Monday, according to the new time, so that his body starts the adjustment. That night, he will most likely be able to fall asleep at his regular bedtime. If the time is falling back, you can just put your child to bed at the time according to the clock on Sunday night, and he will most likely be very tired. Another approach is to anticipate the change and help your baby gradually shift to the new time. Shifting your baby gradually. Quick summary. Spring forward. What used to be 6 p.m. will now be 7 p.m., so your child won't quite be ready for sleep at his usual bedtime. For a few days before the change, adjust sleep times a little earlier each day in anticipation. Fall back. What used to be 8 p.m. will now be 7 p.m., so your child will be sleepy before it's bedtime. Adjust sleep times a little later each day in anticipation. Steps for shifting your baby gradually. Number one, start by assessing your baby's current sleep schedule and figuring out what the time change will mean. If your baby's schedule is just where you want it, you'll help her adjust to the new time. If your baby's current schedule is off and the time change will help, for example, it's fall and you want him to go to bed an hour earlier, or it's spring and you want her to go to bed an hour later, you're in luck. You will be able to shift your baby immediately to the new time. It will still be very important to pay attention to blocking out daylight and keeping bedtime and naptime routines consistent. If your baby's schedule is off in a direction where the time change will make it even worse, adjust slowly to the new time and then continue gradually until you've reached the desired bedtime. One of the most daunting scenarios is when it's fall and your baby is already waking up way too early in the morning. Number two, decide the rate of adjustment ideal for your individual child. Babies tend to have a harder time with the change, while some older kids can jump to the new time the way we do. If your baby is easygoing and flexible, you can choose the faster 20 minutes per day adjustment. If your baby is more sensitive to change, you can choose the slower adjustment, 10 minutes per day. Spring forward. Depending on the rate of adjustment you've chosen, you can start 3, 4, or 6 days before the time change. You will start your bedtime routine and put your baby to sleep 20, 15, or 10 minutes earlier each day. You'll do the same for naps if your baby has a nap schedule. If not, continue to use the span of awake time or 90-minute method for naps. It will take you 3, 4, or 6 days to reach the 1-hour mark, depending on how gradually you shift. If your baby hasn't completely adjusted by the time daylight saving time arrives, just continue the adjustment during the next week. Fall back. Depending on the rate of adjustment you've chosen, you can start 3, 4, or 6 days before the time change. You will start your bedtime routine and put your baby to sleep 20, 15, or 10 minutes later each day. It will take you 3, 4, or 6 days to reach the 1-hour mark, depending on how gradually you shift. If your baby hasn't completely adjusted by the time daylight saving time arrives, just continue the adjustment during the next week. Number three, remember routines and environment. Keep bedtime and naptime routines in place and predictable. All that effort and consistency will pay off now as these cues help your baby adjust to the new time. Also make baby's room very dark. Light creeping in earlier in the morning or lingering into the summer evening can add to a baby's challenge to adjust to the new time. Travel and time zone changes. Generally, it's parents who get anxious about travel and how it will affect baby's sleep. But remember, the babies don't know that travel can be stressful. They're just living in the moment and enjoying the new sights. Depending on the age and sensitivity of your little one, in addition to the location and length of your travel, there are many things you can do to smooth the way to optimal sleep during your trip. Travel and sleep. Bring your baby's familiar sheet, lovey, PJs, and anything else that will remind him of his sleep environment at home. This will become more important the older he gets. Bring dark trash bags and painter's tape to put over the windows of the place your baby will be sleeping. If you're staying with friends or family, ask your hosts if they have what you need to make the room sleep conducive. Dark curtains or blankets to cover windows, or a fan if your baby is used to this, and ideally have this set up before you arrive if you're arriving at night. Bring a carrier or sling on board an airplane. Your baby may need you to walk the aisles with her to fall asleep. Many parents use a portable crib, like a pack and play, as baby's bed away from home. Put it up at home and maybe even use it once or twice so baby is familiar with this alternate sleep, play place. Find as quiet and dark a spot as you can for baby's sleeping spot. A mom once told us she put her baby's bed in a large closet in her hotel room and her baby slept better than she ever had. You can use a large bathroom as well. Do everything possible to maintain your curious stance and give your baby some space, at the same time knowing that it's normal for sleep to regress during travel. Be prepared to put the sleep wave back into place if need be once you get home. The biggest mistake we see is that the overhelping associations, which began during travel, continue once the family is back home. Should you use the sleep wave while you're traveling? Use your judgment about this. If you think that your baby or child is familiar enough with the surroundings and her sleeping space, one reason it helps to bring a familiar portable crib, her loveys, and so forth. You can use your 5-minute checks to respond to her if she cries. Just be extra sensitive about this and know that she may need a little warm-up time in the new environment before she can be expected to sleep independently. That might mean playing in the room for a while, doing a rehearsal with stuffed animals, or talking through the routine with your child. If your child is over 2 years old, you may also want to use the reverse sleep wave. Time zone changes. If the trip is under a week, you may never need to shift your baby or child to the new time. For example, if you're traveling from California to New York, your baby's internal clock will tell her it's her normal 7 p.m. bedtime when the New York clock says 10 p.m. If that works for you and it's a short trip, you might want to just keep her on that time. Use blankets, blackout fabric, or garbage bags to cover the windows and block early morning light. If the trip is longer or has a big time zone change, shift your baby gradually to the new time. Use daylight to stimulate and reset her internal clock. In general, babies adjust at least as quickly as we do to such a significant change, which is about a day for every hour of time difference. Give yourselves time to adjust at the beginning of a big trip and try not to plan major activities right away. As soon as you arrive back home, begin to shift back to your normal schedule. Multiple children or close living quarters. Using the sleep wave when you have multiple children. If you're using the sleep wave and you have multiple kids or limited space in your home, it brings up some logistical issues. If your children share a room and you want to work on sleep with one or both of them, you can opt to temporarily move one baby or child to a new sleeping space. For example, if you have a 3-year-old and a 7-month-old in a 2-bedroom home, you might be wondering how to let your 7-month-old practice falling asleep without disrupting his sibling too much. There are lots of creative solutions to this issue. For example, move your older child into your room temporarily while you use the sleep wave so that baby can learn to fall asleep independently and/or sleep through the night in the kids' room. This could mean moving your child onto a mattress on the floor in your room. Once your baby is sleeping well, move your older child back. Make sure to let her know and periodically remind her, even estimated on the calendar, that this is a temporary adventure and that she'll soon be sleeping in her own room again. Move your baby somewhere else in the house while you use the sleep wave. We've seen families do this in many ways. For example, by converting a walk-in closet, make sure there are no shelves above your baby with items that could fall. Using a screen in the parents' bedroom to divide the space, or keeping baby in the hallway or even in a large bathroom temporarily. These options aren't optimal, of course, because your baby is learning to sleep in a different environment than the one she will be in long-term, but it will still help her practice self-soothing, and she will now sleep better when you put the two kids back together. If you have one child but don't have an extra bedroom, you can also opt to set up another place in the house, such as a large closet or a screen dividing the bedroom or living room while you're working on sleep, or as a permanent solution. Babies don't mind small spaces as long as they're safe and get enough ventilation. You can also have one or both partners sleep in the living room while implementing the sleep wave in your room. Separating baby from parents works well when you're using the sleep wave, because by 4 to 5 months, most babies are very aware of and activated by parents' presence. Being in the same room makes it much harder for baby to learn the new pattern. Mom or dad responding, but baby is responsible for the soothing now. This is often especially difficult during that dreaded 5 a.m. wakening, when most babies have a hard time anyway. If you temporarily move out of your room, once your baby has practiced with falling asleep independently and sleeping through the night, she's more likely to do this when you move back into your room again. When you move back into your room, be ready to do some 5-minute checks if your baby really cries, because your presence sleeping in the room again may disrupt her sleep initially. It's always possible for babies to share rooms with parents. Of course, it's a perfectly natural way to sleep, but it does mean being very consistent with the sleep wave, and it takes some getting used to for both you and your baby. If you're worried about noise, you can let your neighbors or other family members know that your baby is practicing falling asleep and that there may be a few nights in which they hear some protesting and crying. Earplugs and a basket of goodies couldn't hurt. Explain this in advance. Use white noise, such as a low fan, for siblings if they need it. Bedtime tips for multiple children. Especially when you have a young baby and a toddler or older child, it can feel confusing to know what to do before bed to accommodate the needs of all kids. The dinner to bedtime hours are often the most challenging. It's normal to feel like chaos, frustration, and exhaustion rule at this time of day. In the beginning, one or the other child may seem to get the short end of the stick. Either you're spending all of your time attending to your baby and you're missing your older child, or your older child's routine is very set and you feel like your baby doesn't get a proper bedtime routine. It's tricky to meet both kids' needs. In the beginning, you may have to keep your baby's routine very simple and tote her along with you while you take care of your older child. As she gets towards 6 to 7 months, you will be able to do both bedtime routines more or less in sync. Happily, a baby and older child can actually do well with the same bedtime, around 7:30 p.m. Example of routine for baby and older child together. Bathe both kids if you can manage this safely, otherwise bathe one at a time or one child at a different time of day. Put pajamas on both baby and child. Set your older child up with a book in bed while you feed your baby. If this is hard, make a bedtime chart so that your older child knows the routine well and use a lot of positive encouragement. If you have a young toddler, set him up with an engaging toy. Take baby to her room, sing song, place her in bed. Come back to your older child and finish story time, give kisses, and say goodnight. Heather, when my son was a baby, his bedtime routine was a long, carefully crafted affair of bath, infant massage, multiple books and songs. But when my daughter was born, we didn't have time for this Cadillac of routines focused only on her. I'd give her a bath along with her brother, put her pajamas on, feed her, sing her one song, and put her in the crib. Amazingly, I realized one night that every time I walked into the bedroom with her and turned the doorknob just so while saying good night softly to the rest of the house, she started to yawn every night, almost on command. One night when my dad was over, I even asked him to step inside the door and watch. Sure enough, on cue, she yawned. He couldn't believe it. Her routine was my entering the room, saying the same words in a calm tone, turning the doorknob, turning on the fan, and closing the blinds in the room. The point is that you don't need an extravagant routine for it to be a powerful one. Tips to keep in mind for your family bedtime routine. Number one, plan, plan, plan. The key to smooth, peaceful, and predictable bedtime is planning. Start your bedtime routine at the same time every night and keep it very consistent. This works with your children's internal clocks and helps everyone in the family know exactly what to expect night to night. Make a chart or a list. You may want to make a quick list every day if you have a lot of naps and schedules to juggle. Naps and sleep are much more erratic with a newborn, but as your baby's sleep times become regular, your routine will too. A picture chart for your older child of the steps involved in the bedtime routine can be helpful. Number two, be creative. Engage your little and big helpers. There are lots of possibilities for how to approach bedtime, depending on ages, temperaments, and who you have there to help you. If your partner is there during bedtime, it's an opportunity for each parent to share a little one-on-one time with each child. If you're flying solo, you may put some novel toys or a cardboard box in your toddler's play yard while you put your baby down, or have baby on a play mat or bouncy chair while you get your toddler out of the tub and into PJs. You can wear your baby or even nurse her while you read a book, sing a song, and say goodnight to your toddler. Or you can have your toddler help you sing the last song and say goodnight softly to baby. Most toddlers would like it to be in this order, but they have to stay quiet and calm during the baby's routine. Along the way, prepare your kids for the steps to come. It may seem like the easiest solution, but try to avoid having your toddler watch TV or use another electronic device during this time. Except, of course, do what you need to when you have a newborn in the house. Remember that becoming competent, significant, and included members of the family are primary needs of kids. It's an opportunity for your children to practice resourcefulness and patience as they wait to get their needs met. Stay curious. Think, what will happen if we don't turn on the TV? You may be surprised at your little one's ability to rise to the occasion. Number 3, your children are sensitive to your emotional state. Take good care of yourself so that you can be as present and calm as is humanly possible. Start the bedtime routine early so you're not rushing. Dim the lights, put on music, and add another step in your routine that you really enjoy, like taking a walk around the block together after dinner. You could even start your routine with a creative deep breathing game for you and the kids. As your children grow and mature, you will create routines that are sweet and effective. You may even find yourself looking forward to bedtime routines. Twins and more. When many of us see a new parent with twins, our jaws literally drop. Having one child feels overwhelming as it is. It's hard to imagine doubling it. How you adjust your sleep approach with twins will depend on several things. Are they identical or fraternal? What level of outside help will you have? Is your partner available for feedings during the night? Scheduling rules. Establish a shared feeding and napping schedule. This is in contrast to the approach of on-demand feeding and unpredictable sleep schedules for newborn singletons. Number 1, eat together. Babies who feed at the same times day and night are likely to sleep at the same times. If you're breastfeeding and super skilled at it, you might be able to feed your twins at the same time using the football hold. This one takes patience and practice. Other options are breastfeeding one baby while holding the bottle for the other, or feeding both from bottles. Of course, ideally, you're not alone and have helping arms to hold and feed one of your babies. Number 2, snooze together. Put your babies down for naps at the same time. Identical twins tend to coordinate their schedules more easily than fraternal twins. Either way, as they grow and mature, they will be able to nap at the same time if you get them in a regular rhythm, which will allow you to have crucial time to rest and regroup before the next round. This also applies to sharing a bedtime routine and a set bedtime. Number 3. Wake baby up? It's so rare that we recommend waking a baby, but many twin parents swear that you have to break this rule to create the above-mentioned coordination of sleep times. With this approach, you wake whomever is still sleeping at the end of a nap so that both babies will be ready to go down together for the next nap or bedtime. This can also apply to morning wake-up time. In order to keep the first nap on schedule, many twin parents will wake their babies at a certain time, say between 6 and 7 a.m., ideally at least 11 hours after bedtime. Rules and when to break them, from a twin expert and twin mom herself. Molly. Even if it seems ridiculously hard, most twin parents do keep their babies on the same schedule, which gives them some routine and predictability. We veered from this rule when we let Charlie, our better sleeper, nap a little longer so that Will could have some one-on-one time with us. Plus, one cranky baby was easier than two cranky babies. My twins are 5 now, and I've blocked out so much from when they were babies. I can't say it enough. It's really hard. Get all the help you possibly can. One crib or two. Sleep safety recommendations say to have your newborn sleep in your room in a co-sleeper or crib for the first 3 to 4 months. Don't use a bassinet or Moses basket because twins can become overheated if they're lying too close together. Twins can sleep together side by side on their backs in the same crib until one of them can roll or move around. At that point, to be completely safe, they should be moved to separate cribs, ideally where they can see and hear each other, which is soothing and reassuring to them. You may worry that they'll disrupt each other, but twins have an uncanny way of co-regulating, despite the frequent awakenings and cries. Will it ever get better? Twins can be a tad behind on sleep development due to being born early. Rest assured that you can gradually hand over more and more of the soothing to your babies until they become independent sleepers. Just as with singletons, the key is to develop a curious stance rather than getting stuck overhelping. Sometimes twins end up being great sleepers because their parents are extra motivated to keep schedules very clear and regular. Can I use the sleep wave with twins? Absolutely. If your twins are 5 months, adjusted age of premature, or older, and still not falling asleep on their own, the sleep wave is your ticket. Assuming your plan is to have both children sleep in the same room, in most cases, it will help to separate them temporarily as you implement the sleep wave. Wait until they are both falling asleep independently to put them back in the same room together. We've had parents come up with creative solutions for separating their twins while implementing the sleep wave. One crib in the living room behind a screen, hallway, bathroom, or closet, while the other is in their bedroom. It's also possible to try to implement the sleep wave with both children in the same room, especially if they are used to tuning each other out and progress quickly with falling asleep independently. If you find that they are frequently disrupting each other, you can switch to separate rooms for a few nights. When to forget the schedule. Some parents, especially those with fraternal twins, prefer to follow each baby's cues around feeds and sleep times. In these cases, there's often one baby who is sleeping better and longer than the other. A plus is that parents have more opportunities to give each baby some much-needed individual attention. This approach is also easier to adopt if you have a nanny or family member with you, so you can tag team. Twins progressing differently. Jill, mom of fraternal twins. In the early months, my daughter Hayden was a better sleeper than her sister, Logan. So my husband and I each chose a baby to care for every night. We would alternate. That way, we each had nights where we got a little more precious sleep, and the girls were able to show us how their sleep progressed differently. I couldn't have done it this way without my husband right there by my side. Call in your village. If it's one thing all parents of twins and multiples say, it's to get lots of help. Whether it's your partner, a hired nanny, grandma, or friends, you will need frequent and regular helpers there with you to share duties and give you a break sometimes. Sadly, in our society, the norm is still for moms to feel that they're supposed to do everything by themselves. We don't believe this is true or natural, even with only one baby. Only you know how much and what type of help you need, and often people wait for your cue to pitch in. So don't be afraid to take the lead requesting and creating your team of helpers. Working with childcare providers. Sleep at daycare and preschool. If your baby is in daycare, start by asking the caregivers how they normally put the babies to sleep. What are the routines and schedules? If they rock, feed, or hold the babies until asleep, you'll need to explore with them if they're willing to do nap time the way you do it at home. Most places will work with you as much as they are able. Things will inevitably be a little different at home versus at daycare, but that's okay. It's a completely separate environment, so your baby quickly learns the difference between the two. Preschool teachers are unlikely to rock or feed your toddler before nap, but they should be attentive to when he needs help getting settled, especially at the beginning. The high side of sleeping at preschool is that the routines are very set and the expectations clear. Kids aren't as invested in dragging out the process of going to sleep because they see the rest of their peers getting their mats and blankets and following a structured set of steps. Some nappers will have an easier time falling asleep at preschool because of the group dynamic and the consistency. Your baby's nap schedule at daycare may be different than at home. This can work just fine. You'll have to see how your baby does with a schedule that is different in two environments. For example, your 18-month-old may still take two naps at home, but at daycare, she does well with one nap and gets to be part of the daytime activities with the other children. Especially when your baby is at a transitional phase with naps, somewhere in between 3 and 2 naps or 2 and 1 nap, she may have days when she takes one more nap, and that's okay. Eventually, her nap schedule will be the same at home and at childcare. Working with childcare providers at home, babysitters, nannies, grandparents, and more. When you're working on sleep, consistency across all caregivers will be a huge plus to your baby. Some babysitters or nannies will go to heroic efforts to get your baby to sleep without fussing or protesting, including rocking, holding, stroller rides, etc. They're trying to show you what an attentive caregiver they are. But if your baby or child is learning the sleep wave, it's important to communicate very clearly with all caregivers exactly what you want them to do at bedtime, nap time, and in the event that your baby protests or wakes up. Here are some tips for creating consistency for the sleep wave in the home. An interesting tendency we've seen is how often parents report that their baby or toddler goes down awake with no problem for anyone who's not mom or dad. Tricky little ones. This is great information for you that your baby is completely capable. Share the concept of the sleep wave with anyone in your home who puts your baby down for a nap or at bedtime. Explain it in enough depth to get them on board. Have them listen to sections of this book or look at the sleep wave planner in the appendix. Tell them the steps of the sleep wave and create a handout for them to refer to over time. Include the basic steps, your script, which they should use word for word, and your mantras. Have them shadow you several times as you go through all of the steps in the bedtime or naptime routine, and then continuing to the sleep wave. If your baby is already falling asleep quite well on her own, you will have to describe and show them what to do just in case she wakes unexpectedly. Make sure that they have a reliable timer for the 5-minute checks. Make sure that they are able to reach you for the first several times in case they need clarification or support. If your toddler or child is responding well to the reverse sleep wave, share with them exactly how that works and what it looks like. Going back to work. This is a tremendous adjustment for both you and your baby whenever it happens. It's normal for moms and dads to have many difficult feelings around the loss of time together and concern about how everyone will adjust. On top of this emotional roller coaster is the challenge of the logistics and juggling of who goes where, when, who will care for your baby, and how in the world you will get everything done. Sleep can easily get derailed during this time. If you plan ahead and take steps to hold on to the progress you've already made sleep-wise, you'll end up with more quality awake time with your baby in the long run. Here are some tips. If you plan to implement the sleep wave, do so at least 2 weeks before you go back to work, or a month or more after, not during. One big transition at a time is plenty for the whole family. If you need to shift your baby's bedtime later due to your work schedule, try to minimize this, even if it means that one parent won't see baby until morning playtime. Your baby needs at least 11 hours of sleep at night. You may find that you're short on time at the end of the workday. It's fine to go straight into your bedtime routine as soon as you get home. This time should be soothing and pleasurable for both of you. Dim the lights, put on some comfy clothes, and choose books and songs that you really love. Some moms choose to keep a nighttime feeding in place so that they can fit in a little extra bonding time. This can work very well, especially if you're nursing and concerned about maintaining your milk supply. Just be sure not to start adding in more feedings later in the night as time goes on. Do everything in your power not to regress if your baby is already falling asleep on his own. Stick to the sleep wave and reverse sleep wave at bedtime if using it. Expect a few bumps during this time and know that your baby will go back to what he has proven to you he can do. Single parenting. This job of caring for a baby or young child is daunting enough with two parents in the home. For those of you doing it on your own, it's nearly impossible to fathom. We humans are social creatures and depend on each other to thrive. With this in mind, and with the knowledge that babies benefit from having many caring adults love and tend to them, finding regular, dependable support, whether it's from family, friends, or hired help, will be key to you finding the balance that you and your baby need. Needless to say, good sleep for you will be an absolute necessity. Organize your team, whether it's family, friends, or nannies. The time you spend putting helpers into place will make all the difference in the world. We all need our village, and single parents need this even more so. Using the sleep strategies in this book will be crucial to give you the time and energy you will need in this tremendously demanding role. You will likely be sleep deprived for the first several months, but getting sleep on track as soon as possible will help enormously. Keep sleep consistent across caregivers. Keep your team in the loop and make sure that their pattern of response is the same as yours. This will help your baby feel safe and know what to expect, which will also ensure that his sleep doesn't regress. If grandma rocks him to sleep and the nanny feeds him to sleep, you're going to have a much harder time putting him into his bed awake. Despite all that is on your plate, be sure to carve out a little bit of time just for you, a few times a week at least. Take a walk, take a hot bath, or have coffee with a friend. You need some balance and a chance to refuel. Try to find a new parents group in your area. Not only will you have support and understanding from your new friends, you may be able to share some childcare. We need each other. Chapter 7. Parent Sleep. I'm a parent. I'm not supposed to be well rested. A mom of two little kids said this to us once. It's a sentiment we hear from parents all the time. This lovely mom, a working parent with a toddler and preschooler, was fully committed to helping her children sleep well, but her own sleep was a low priority. Her sleep needs were squeezed by work and family. After her kids were asleep, she was at her computer until 11:30 p.m., went to bed at midnight, and was up at 6:30 a.m. to get the day started. She felt drowsy and less productive at work, and it was hard to motivate to exercise or see friends. This is a widespread problem. Parents are sleep deprived, but they either don't know it or they don't think they can change it. There's a myth out there that poor sleep is an occupational hazard of parenthood and that you just need to tough it out because it comes with the territory. We hear parents joke that they'll sleep 10 years from now. The risks of poor parent sleep. You're moody and have low energy. There are safety risks. 37% of adults say they've fallen asleep at the wheel. You're less creative and make poor decisions and more errors. There are health risks such as weight gain, hypertension, and heart disease. Don't accept poor sleep as a way of life. Of course, the first months with your baby will change your sleep drastically. But in the long term, you absolutely can be a well-rested parent. No, this is not an oxymoron. Most adults need 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night to function at their best. Research indicates fewer than 5% of adults are short sleepers who only need 6 hours of sleep or less. Even moderate sleep deprivation mimics the effects of ingesting alcohol beyond the legal driving limits. You don't want to go about work and family life that way. The house that values sleep. Your sleep habits, good or bad, have a trickle-down effect on the rest of the family. Think beyond just solving immediate sleep issues to how you're affecting your child's relationship to sleep. This relationship is created in the moments, big and small, that make up every day. You've seen the way your child models your behavior in many arenas. Sleep is no different. If she sees you taking care of yourself and valuing your sleep, along with healthy eating and exercise, it's a worldview that will rub off on her. Especially once your child is at least 2 years old, both show and tell her that you value your own self-care and sleep. This can take many forms. Model healthy sleep habits. Have conversations about sleep. Tell your child that grown-ups need about 8 hours of sleep and kids need about 11 to 12 hours at night because their brains and bodies are growing so much. Notice with your child how it feels when we don't sleep enough and how great we feel when we do sleep. Explain that the brain works faster and better with great sleep, whereas when we don't sleep well, our mind feels a little cloudy. Take care of your own bedroom. Design it in a way that makes you happy. Clear out clutter, make your bed, and talk about how your bedroom is a cozy, calm place that you love. When your child is old enough, have her make her bed. Or help you do it. How parents can get the best sleep. We meet plenty of parents who don't sleep well, even after a baby or child is sleeping through the night. For most of these parents, following sleep advice and making behavioral changes in sleep habits and schedules will help. In this chapter, we'll troubleshoot the most common sleep issues for parents and give you tangible advice for fixing your sleep with the same care that you dedicate to your children's sleep needs. Note, if you try to make changes to your routines and habits and still find yourself sleeping poorly or feeling tired, it's important to talk to your doctor because it could be related to a sleep disorder or another health concern. My baby sleeps, but I don't. If your baby's sleep has just started to improve, you might notice that you still wake up when she used to. Your mind is on high alert, still expecting to be needed during the night and ready for action. For most parents, this goes away, and they start sleeping continuously after their body has adjusted. On the other hand, a lot of parents, especially moms, tell us that they feel very sensitive to noise at night and ready to jump at all times. This, unfortunately, is a natural part of parenthood for some of us. We're constantly living with the knowledge that our kids might need us, even long after they've started sleeping well. And it makes our brains more activated. It's a good evolutionary strategy to keep us on our toes, but it makes for some restless nights. If this is the case for you, try to protect your sleep as much as possible and help yourself relax. This might include turning down or off the baby monitor so that you only hear when your baby really needs you, wearing earplugs if your partner can be on duty, using a white noise machine or fan in your room, and practicing relaxation exercises to fall asleep. Sleep tips for parents. These are sleep strategies for parents. Many of these are based on gold standard recommendations for achieving good sleep for all adults. But the advice we give you here is tailored to parents specifically. Number one, adjust your schedule. Especially if you're a night person or someone who used to occasionally sleep in, aligning your sleep with a child's can be hard, but it's really important. Your child's early wake-up time, whether it's 6 a.m. or 7:30 a.m., is now a fixed point around which most parents need to adjust their own sleep. You need 7 to 8 hours of sleep. It helps to know exactly how much is optimal for you. So if you know you're going to be awake at 6 a.m., you'll need to be in bed by 10 or 11 p.m. This may sound like an obvious calculation, but you can't imagine how many parents we meet who go to bed late every night or at least a few nights a week, wake up with their child, and then wonder why they're exhausted. Remember that your sleep needs are actual sleep time, not just the time you're in bed. So if you need 8 hours of sleep and it takes you 15 minutes to fall asleep, you'll want to get into bed 8 hours and 15 minutes before your child's wake-up time. When you don't do this, you carry small but growing amounts of sleep debt with you. Don't cut this calculation too close. Now that you're a parent, you never know what's going to happen in the middle of the night. Someone could have a nightmare or wake up coughing and need you. If you get 8 hours of sleep on a regular basis, you'll be okay if you have a night of 6 hours because you have to attend to a sick baby. If you're always cutting it close or skimping on sleep, those tough nights will hit you much harder. Your downtime is important, but a lot of parents tell us that they stay awake too late because they relish their downtime after the kids go to bed. They want time to spend with each other or time to work, watch TV, eat dinner, or read. Having time to yourself is really important, But the best way to go about this is to put your child to bed early. If your baby is in bed at 7:30 p.m. and wakes up at 6:30 a.m., this gives you at least 2 hours after her bedtime before you need to think about getting ready for bed yourself. A consistent schedule is important. Your body is happiest when you go to bed at the same time every night, even on the weekends. Too many parents miss hours of sleep during the week and hope to make it up over the weekend, but it's very hard for your body to adjust this way, and it can make you feel more tired. It's much better to sleep consistently than to think about paying your sleep debt back at a later date. Number two, avoid alcohol before bedtime. What do you mean? Alcohol helps me fall asleep. We hear this a lot because drinking in the evenings is a common habit for parents, especially after a long day of taking care of babies or juggling work and family responsibilities. Yes, alcohol is a sedative, but it can disrupt sleep during the night. Consuming alcohol before bed can cause a person to have more light sleep and wake up more in the second half of the night. This is like a rebound effect that occurs after the effects of alcohol have worn off. REM sleep and slow wave sleep change under the effects of alcohol, as do core body temperature and the action of certain neurotransmitters. Not surprisingly, drinking leads to reduced alertness the next day and more difficulty doing things that require dividing your attention, like parenting. This has been shown in many studies. For example, pilots who drank alcohol between 6 and 9 p.m. were significantly impaired when they were tested on a flight simulator 14 hours later, with no alcohol left in their system. We know that you're probably not flying an aircraft tomorrow, but you still need your wits about you. Of course, this doesn't mean that you should avoid drinking altogether. It's only if you notice that you are waking up in the night after drinking or you're feeling tired the next day, even though you thought you got enough sleep. Just take note of how alcohol affects you. Number three, turn off the screens. One of the biggest sleep stealers for parents is working, browsing, or chatting on an electronic device like a laptop or phone close to bedtime. Many of these emit blue light, which affects circadian rhythms and suppresses the release of melatonin, making it harder to fall asleep once you climb in bed. Social media, work, emails, and online research can really suck you in. It's incredibly easy and very common for many adults and teens to stay up late because their mind is still engaged and can't relax. If you read a stressful message or story before bed, or feel compelled to keep researching a topic or working on a project, it can wind you up and really make it harder to sleep. This is why we recommend shutting down electronics at least an hour before bedtime. If your bedtime is 10 p.m., make it a rule that at 9 p.m., your close-range electronic gadgets all go off. Don't check messages, work, or browse at your computer after this time. If you can't sleep, try not to reach for one of those gadgets. Read a print book or use a reader with no backlight. Number four, exercise. Exercising during the day is known to improve sleep quality. If you have a regular workout routine, that's great. If you're home with your baby, see if you can take a walk every day. Getting some sunlight during the day will help with sleep as well. Number five, your routine. Yes. Grown-ups need bedtime routines too. Having wind-down time that follows the same pattern every night cues your brain to shift gears and get ready for sleep. Eat a light snack. don't have a conversation about finances or other sources of stress for at least a couple of hours before sleep. Turn off electronics 1 hour before bed. Protect this time and know that you have to allow your body time to unwind. Sample bedtime routine.